How many of you, when you came into this church for the first time, you knew there was something there? There, whatever there is. As a matter of fact, many of you have had some of your friends ask you this question. Well, what is it about that church? I mean, what is it that, like, people are talking about and that when you go there? I mean, well, what is it? Matter of fact, I met a pastor recently from the community who said so many pastors talked bad about OSC that we were stealing their members, that he finally met with Pastor Eugene because he wanted to know, was he really as bad as everybody said he was? And he said when he got through talking to Pastor Eugene, he liked him better than all the people who was talking bad about him. And you know what happens? If you don't get better, you get bitter at those that are getting better. Come on, ladies. You know when you see a fine woman walking in and three of y'all go, let's hate her. She's had work done. That ain't real. Come on, you know how you feel. But oftentimes people say, well, what is it about that church? Well, what is it? And they say, the pastor. Tell me, it's got to be Pastor you and Miss Heidi. Is it Pastor you and Miss Heidi? Is it? And they are a key part of it. And they say, well, what is he? Is he white? Is he black? Is he Mexican? No, but we have a Mexican. And I believe that what people are asking for and looking for is actually a longing, a craving of our culture. We live in a horribly broken culture. You see, many people confuse freedom for reality. And let me explain what I mean by that. I mean, freedom, people think, is the ability to do whatever you want to do and nobody can tell you what to do. So that there are no rules and there's no rules to break, so you can just do whatever, live whatever. You can claim whatever identity you want, live however morally you want, go and do whatever you want. And you can, and our society has. But when you break God's commands, remember, we were made by the Word of God. So you don't break God's commands, they break you. You were made by the Word of God, and it's clear lanes to keep you in check. And when you decide that you're going to pull down the walls and pull down the barriers so that there is no right and wrong and you can do whatever you want to do, listen, you can do whatever you want to do. But you won't love who you become in the process. You won't. And to this broken culture that is so broken, I used to stand up in school assemblies like this where I spoke to millions of students, and it didn't matter whether I was in Opelousas or the inner city of Houston or the inner city of Detroit. I would stand up in a school assembly like this and I would say the very same thing, black, white, brown, it didn't matter what group. I would stand up and I would say, I'm going to tell you the single greatest need and desire and dream of every person in this room. And when I do that at these little rich white schools, they go like, really? Like, what do you know? When I'd say it in the hood, they go, what that white dude know about me? Because you know, to a brother, you white. If you're not black, you white. You're white. I have to tell y'all this story because it's too good. Can I tell y'all this story? I was driving on the highway at midnight in Dallas when I lived outside of Dallas, Texas. And I was driving to go somewhere, and I saw a car broken down on the wrong side of the road. You know, there's the right side, but if you go over on this side on one of those main highways like in a big city, you didn't mean to. It just happened bad. So I saw there, and then I saw off in the distance, probably about a quarter of a mile, somebody walking with a can. So I pulled over and pulled up behind and said, hey, man, you need some help? He said, yeah. He jumped in the car. Of course, it's dark. It's midnight. And we start talking. So I start talking to him about Jesus. So as I'm talking to him about the Lord, he says to me, he goes, well, here I am. A black man walking at night on the side of the road. You can't trust people these days. I didn't know who was going to pick me up. I said, well, I know what you mean. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm a Mexican. And I turned the light on in a car, and he looked at me and goes, I couldn't tell till I got right up on you. I would say every one of us, just like every one of those students I would talk to in those schools, have one dream and desire and ambition, and I don't care whether you're 80 or whether you're 18, it's still the same. And do you know what it is? It's to come from, to have, or to give your children a happy family. It's to give your children, your grandchildren, a happy family. And many of us didn't come from that. And it became a yearning cry and desire. They tried to redefine family to try to work around that. As a matter of fact, in our generation, for the first time in all of known history, marriage and family have been redefined. The Chinese have 3,000 years of written history. The Jews have 7,000 years of written history. And we in the United States, that are about less than 300 years old, have decided that we know more than God. And in this broken culture that has no clue who they are, as men, as women, as young people, as adults, they're broken in their sexuality. They're broken in their personality. They're broken in their identity. God wants to restore what the enemy has destroyed. Someone said, if you want to see what God wants to use, just look and see what the enemy is attacking. And in our generation, it's family. It's family. So let me tell you what the it factor is that people walk in and they go, well, what is it about that church? What is it? Can I tell you this? We don't have a new Bible here. We don't have a new Bible. We didn't invent anything. We didn't create anything new. But I believe that we're restoring back something that is God's very idea from the very beginning. What is it, Pastor? When God created man, He created the earth. He said, it's good. Then He created man, and He said, it's good. Then after He finished all of His creation, He looked down and He stopped, and He said, it is not good. Something's not good. What did He say? It's not good for man to be what? Alone. So God gave him the crown jewel of His creation. Come on, men. Shout somebody in this house. God looked at the angels and said, if you think man is good, watch this. Boom. And there your wife was. Glory to God. Watch this. And then God gave them a command. He said, it is very good. And He gave them a command to multiply and reproduce. You see, there's a law in the Bible called the biblical law of first reference, which goes like this. If you want to know what something really means in the Bible, go back to the first time it was ever mentioned. Family was God's idea. The God who needed nothing, the God who needs nothing from any person here, He had an idea in mind, and that idea was family. And from the moment He created it, the enemy has hated it. God, that's good. Somebody write that down for me and send it to me. From the moment He created it, the enemy has hated it. Why? Because every healthy family points back to a father. And before the enemy ever destroyed the father figures here in society, he knew he had to destroy the picture of the father here before he could steal the picture of the father there. There isn't almost any atheist I've ever talked to in 40 years. They start telling me why they don't believe. I get to a point, I ask them, let me tell you something. Tell me about your relationship with your daddy. 90% of them, my daddy left when I was 9. My daddy was a jerk. My daddy was a hypocrite. My daddy was, why? Because before they could ever steal the picture of a heavenly father, they had to steal the picture of an earthly father. And that's why the redefinition of marriage and family is so horrific to our culture. And if you think they're broken sexually, you see all the tattoos people have, tattoos and piercings all over them, that's nothing compared to the scars on their heart. That is the outward wounds and cry of a broken generation that waits to see what God intended from the very beginning restored again. What is that, Pastor? Family. It's family. So if you came from dysfunction, and some of y'all came from some jacked up families, don't point at people, just some of y'all came from jacked up families. Look at me. I'm the president of the Jacked Up Families Club. My dad is married 5 times. Each woman he's married to after my mother had been married at least 2 or 3 times, unless the last one, I finally married him. The last one, he got married in his 70s to a white single lawyer who he was afraid of. Like, dude got a walker now. He can't run from her. And many of you, like me, you were raised, you survived your childhood. You survived your upbringing. But God wants to do something besides cause you to survive. He wants you to thrive. And in order to thrive, He has to restore back to you what the enemy robbed from you, and that is family. So what you feel when you come walking into our Savior's church is the presence of God. Yes, it's the Word of God. Yes, it's amazing worship. Aren't our worship leaders doing an amazing job? Don't you love Taylor and Janessa? They're doing just an amazing job. Okay, but watch this. What people want when they come walking in these doors is family. They want someone to connect with. They want somebody to do life with. They want healthy people, because many of them, just like you and me, come from such dysfunction. All they know is they don't want to be anything like what they came from. That's all they know. Family was God's idea. You were made for family. You were made for fellowship. Matter of fact, Psalms 92, verse 12 through 15 says it like this in the Amplified Version. These captions give you the fullest meaning of the original language. It says, the uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like a what? They'll be, say it with me. How many want to live long? They will be long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. They shall grow up like cedars in Lebanon, majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. Planted in the house, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they shall bring forth fruit in their. Come on, everybody over 50. Slap somebody 25. They shall be full of. That's like when you start crying when you miss my kids. You're supposed to be sappy. They shall be full of sap of spiritual vitality and rich in the verdure of trust, love, and contentment. Watch this. This is my favorite part. They are living memorials to show that the Lord is and is to His. Do you ever see some saint about 70 or 80 years old? And you look and go, oh, I got these problems. You go, oh, baby, you pray. God, my husband was away from the Lord for 20 years, but he couldn't outrun a power of prayer. My child was out there acting a fool in the streets, doing craziness, but I began praying, and the prayers and the faithful God brought him back into his destiny, brought my child, my daughter back. Why? They're living proof when you look at their lives that God is faithful to his promises. In those difficulties, in those challenging moments, they took the promises of God, they held them as their own, and they cashed them and saw them come to pass. They saw them come to pass. I love that. My mother and father-in-law were that way. My father-in-law was an alcoholic, was about to get divorced, separated in Lafayette from seven children. My mother-in-law said to the children, he was a salesman on the road with Schick razors. How many of you are old enough to remember those? Come on, old people, help me feel good about myself today. And she started a furniture store to support their family called Unpainted Furniture by Louise. And while she was doing that, they were separated. He pulls into a church, a non-denominational church like this, walks in and says, "Can you help me? I go to Mass every day. I confess every day, but I can't get free from addiction of alcohol. My wife and children are separated from me. Can you help me?" They took him in a room, led him to Christ. He was born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Gwen got my mother-in-law, brought her back that night. Same thing happened to her. And 50 years later, most of their children in ministry, almost all of their grandchildren are in ministry. And when we walk through difficulties and challenges with our children, Michelle goes, "What are we going to do, baby? Look at your mom and daddy and how they stood and they prayed and they believed." They are living memorials that God is faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his promises. God desires to give every born-again child of God three gifts when you are born into his kingdom. Number one, he wants to give you a family. See, if you're really planted here, this is family. You can't join another place. You don't join a church. God joins you. God joins you. This is a family. Now, some of us have been hurt by people before. Some of you, when we say family, that isn't a good thing to you. As a matter of fact, some of you have been so hurt by family. Remember this, when you're close and you get hurt, if you don't resolve that, then you begin to build up indifference in your heart. And after a while, you become unbondable to healthy relationships. You do. Some of you here have been hurt so much and took a step back and protected yourself each time you did, and you don't understand why you can't get close to anybody. You're unbondable. And so family doesn't sound good to you. That's how we got a generation that was willing to give up what family really meant. They were so hurt by it, they weren't willing to fight for it. And so some of you have been hurt. Some of you have been hurt in church. How many got family that's hurt you? How many of you love your mate? How many of them have ever hurt you? Don't point, just raise your hand. Of course, of course. Listen to me, listen carefully. Look right here. All people are going to hurt you. You just have to decide which relationships are worth hurting for. I've hurt my mate, I didn't mean to. How many of you hurt your mate and didn't mean to? Raise your hand. How many of you hurt your mate and you meant to? Don't raise your hand. Pastor Eugene's out, he's in the Holy Land. I don't want you calling him for counseling. Of course not. Watch this. We've hurt, and we mean to. We mean to. Life hurts. Kids hurt. Hold on, let me say it one more time. Kids hurt. Brothers and sisters hurt. Sometimes mom and daddy's hurt. But there is something worse than hurting for the people you love. It's hurting because there's no one to love in your life. It's hurting because there's nobody to love in your life. It's hurting because there's no one to love in your life. Our nursing homes are packed with people who, in many instances, did not invest in their children. They live for themselves, and now their children want nothing to do with them. In other instances, they did what they should do, but their children are so self-absorbed, they don't ever think that one day they're going to be where they are. Family. Family can hurt. See, people, a lady came one time to church and she said, Pastor, she said, when I was on vacation, she said, I visited a church. It was the perfect church. Pastor said, is that right? She said, yeah. Oh, everybody loved each other. They did. Oh, the worship was amazing. It was? Yeah, the greeters and the ushers and everybody. I mean, it was the perfect church. Pastor, it was nothing like our church. It was the perfect church. And the pastor looked at her and said, well, then I just got one bit of advice for you. She said, what's that? He said, don't join it, because after you join it, it won't be. There is no perfect church like there is no perfect family, because churches are made up of families. God wants to give everyone a family. He wants to give you faith to believe, not only in Him, but in others. Your life is intimately connected to doing life with other people. God made you that way, not only for fellowship with Him, but fellowship with people. Do you know that we live in the Western world in the loneliest society in history, and we can text, email, FaceTime, Instagram, MySpace, YourSpace, TheirSpace? That we can do all of those crazy things, and in spite of doing all of those crazy things, people are lonely. God wants to give you family, and He wants to give you faith in believing that He can do that, because if He's your heavenly Father, then you got a heavenly family. And then He wants to give you a future. He wants to give you a future. I love to say it like this. When I walked into a church for the first time, anywhere similar to this, I was 14 and a half years old. My life was jacked up. I was a mess. And I love to say it like this. Jesus saved my soul, but the church of Jesus saved my life. They became my family. Pastor, can you be a Christian and not go to church? Absolutely. But you won't be a growing one. You won't be a growing Christian if you don't go to church. So what is spiritual family? Let Jesus answer that question for you. Listen to what He says in Matthew chapter 12. Then one said to Him, Lord, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking to speak with you. In other words, Jesus, you got this big crowd around you, but your mama sent a message. Get back here. We knew you before you had the WWJD bracelet. We knew you before you was walking on water and turning water into wine. Get back here and see your mama, boy. And listen to what Jesus says to him. He says this, but he answered and said to the one who told him this, who is my, and who are my? And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here is my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. He wasn't saying he had a bad family. He's just saying he had a bigger family. He had a bigger family. And you have a bigger family. And the real joy of our Savior's church, the real joy is that we believe in family. We believe that we're building family together. We believe that what this community needs and St. Landry Parish needs is a spiritual family that's black, brown, white, mixed, red, yellow, rich, poor, that love this community and want to see it raised again from the dead. By the way, if God is your Father, then I'm your brother. Well, I don't like Mexicans. Hi. Well, there are people here I don't like. Come on, all of you got relatives you don't like. How many of you got relatives you don't like? Don't lie. Okay. How many of you got relatives you can't even introduce? You just got to explain them. Pastor, how do I become a part of spiritual family? Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. The father of the fatherless, the defender of widows is this God who is in His dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in what? So God's desire is to put you in a family. Psalms 92:13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall. He wants you flourishing and fruitful. God has a place that he wants to plant you so he can grow you. That's why I say you don't join a church. God joins you. But do you know, in order for that to happen, three things have to happen. Number one, you have to know that you're planted. You got to know that you're planted. You know, I'm going to do a wedding this afternoon at 3 o'clock for my niece. She's marrying an incredible young man. Incredible man. His story is amazing. And I'm going to get to the end of that and I'm going to say to her, Mamie, do you take, and I'll remember his name by then, to be your lawful wedded husband, to have and to hold, to love and to cherish in sickness and in health, for richer or for till death alone do you part. And she's going to say, I do. I think as pastors, we need to spend a whole lot more time talking about richer or poorer and better and worse. Because apparently they hear us saying richer or richer or better or best. Because when the poor and the worst comes out, they want to leave. I remember first grade. How many remember first grade? It was a long time ago, but I remember this. I remember they were teaching us biology, so we got milk cartons. Remember that? And we were Mexican, so we put a bean in there. Some of us put other plants in there. Some to eat and some to smoke. And we put that in there, and then you watered it, and that was your like little biology test. Like, and you would watch. Let me ask you a question. What would happen if as soon as it started sprouting, I pulled it out and said, I like their carton better, and stuck it in that carton. And then waited another 2 weeks and pulled it out of there and stuck it in another carton. And did that three or four times. What would happen? So will you. So will you. You must know that you are planted. Planted beyond a fence. Planted beyond something happened that you didn't care for. Number two, you need to know your place. Now that you're planted, but you need to know your place. God has given every person in this house gifts. We help you discover that in Growth Track, where you can find, know God, find freedom, discover your purpose there. We'll help you find out the gifts that are inside you so you can give them out. I think of Orrin Richard, an old guy that was at the Bruce Sark camp when we first started. He walked up to me. He's a short guy with an orange chair. Right after he came to Christ, he goes, Pastor, he goes, I want to do something, Brother Lord, but I don't know what to do. I said, well, what are your giftings? He said, well, I'm a master mechanic at the Cadillac place. Orrin Sellers is his name. I said, Orrin, okay, we have a lot of ladies, single moms and widows that need their oil change and car check. They can't afford it. There isn't a man around. He said, that's what I'm going to do. They're still doing that to this day. That was almost 20 years ago. Orrin's not even there doing it. All kinds of other people are. And for some reason, all the single men in the church wanted to help. People weren't even mechanics coming all colognedup. Yes. It's like, brother, please. Every one of us has something we can offer. And if you look at every single ministry we have in our church, all was some person with the vision to do something, whether it's security of the team, landscaping, all the different things that get to happen because someone had a dream and a desire. Here's the third thing. Then you fulfill your place in the body. You see, something happens when I do what God made me to do. And all of us have different giftings. John 15:5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much. For without me you can. See, some of us need to recognize that there is a gift that God's given us, but we can't use it unless we're connected to him. But when we're connected to him and he does it through us, it brings a sense of fulfillment in our lives. Nothing else in the world will. Nothing else in the world will. John 15:8, Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." You see, when we're connected to Him, it's not just being faithful. Well, I go there every week. It's being fruitful. God doesn't reward faithfulness. He rewards fruitfulness. And faithfulness is a part of that. It's a part of that. So if you haven't gone through growth track, go. How many gone through growth track? Raise your hand. Okay, those of you that haven't, you'll never know where you can fit in. You'll never know where you're planted. You'll never know the place that you can be filled in until that happens. Now, God builds three ways. This is how you know. And you're, as I say this, some of you go, "Pastor, how do I know this is my family? How do I know our Savior's church is my spiritual family?" Well, first you have to be born again. I'm going to talk to you about that at the end. But here's the three ways. If you are born again, you'll know if this is your spiritual family. Number one, by revelation. Say that with me, revelation. How many of you remember when you met your future mate? Raise your hand. How many of you was love at first sight? That always saves time. How many of you, it took her a little while to grow on to you? So, someone said a long time ago, there's two ways for it to happen. In every girl's mind, she's going to walk by a garden and see a frog and poof, he's going to turn into a handsome prince. When in reality, there's somebody you've been knowing a long time that's kind of froggy. That's going to just kind of grow on you without the warts. I remember when I knew that Michelle was going to be my wife. I mean, when it hit me. And I walked up to her and said, "Baby, congratulations. You just won the Brown Powerball lottery." No, I didn't. I knew it. And then guess what I have to do after that? I had to start building a relationship. "Hey, well, what do you think about the future? How many children do you want? What do you want to do with your life? Where do you see yourself going? What do you want to do? What kind of person do you think you're going to marry?" You see, I got the revelation, but then I had to begin to build relationally. How many of you, when you walked in to the first service, you knew, "I'm home"? Raise your hand. That was the revelation. How many of you took a while to grow on you? Raise your hand. How many are still trying to figure it out? Raise your hand. Okay, good. That's okay. You're in the right place. It's revelation, and then you begin to build relationally. And then here's the third part, and it's the most fun part. It's the most exciting part. It's generational. Do you know when I married Michelle, when I said to myself, witness of the Holy Spirit, my pastor, she's the one. You know, I decided that my children would be over 6 feet tall. I did. She was 5'7" and the tallest person in her family, and I was almost 6'2½", the tallest person in my family. I decided that all my children would be good looking that day. I did, because I married somebody much better looking than me. And that doesn't mean I'm just love is blind. I have eyes, I can see. Do you know that it's possible for you to decide what kind of spiritual children you have and what they look like? Revelation, relationship, and then generationally. And today, when I stand here right now on this school platform, right now, my son Christian is standing on the platform at Tomball High School, preaching to the church that he started 7 months ago. All of that was decided with that revelation. That's why I know that so many people, they don't know it. They should be jealous of you. Because every time you drive by that building on Harry Gilbo, every time you drive by that road, one day your children are going to be driving by when they're old and your grandchildren going, my mom and daddy helped start that church. My mom and daddy helped build that building. My papa helped build that building right there. It is going to be a lasting memorial that God is faithful to his promises through you. Woo, I just got the free sauce. So did you. It's a living memorial that God is faithful to his promises. Do you know why I'm here today? Because of Jesus. And because Jesus saved my soul, but the church of Jesus saved my life. When I walked in, never been in a church like this before, 14 and a half years old, gave my life to Christ with an African-American counselor in my eighth grade chemistry lab, and walked in to an old church of 150 white people, average age 70. I had no background connection with them from education, from upbringing, from spiritual foundation. But when I walked in, it was like adopt a Mexican gang member week. And you know what I found? Come on. I found family. When people ask you, what is it about our Savior's church? Well, what do they preach? What do they do that's so different? Why do people keep coming? Because the world is starving for family. God's dream, God's heart, God's desire was to build a family from the garden, and it has not changed. It hasn't changed. Would you bow your head with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for spiritual family. I thank you for the yearning heart passion of Pastor Eugene and Heidi and this amazing team and their yearning desire to bring family to St. Landry Parish, for the broken, for the lonely, for the lost, for the up and out and for the down and out, for those who come from fractured past and from those who come from fruitful past, a family. That same dream, God, you had in the garden. We thank you for that. And now with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you the most important question of your life. Jesus said, unless a man or woman is born again, they couldn't see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, unless a man or woman was born again, they wouldn't enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then he said, don't be surprised that I tell you, you must be born again. My birthday is June the 17th, but my spiritual birthday is the week before Easter, 1971, when I prayed with an African-American counselor in a chemistry lab. That day, I became born again. I was never the same since that day. Some days, spiritually, I've done great. Some days, I've struggled, but I've never been the same since that day I was born again. I became a baby in Christ. Today, have you been born again? Jesus said in John chapter 3, unless you've been born again, you won't see the kingdom of heaven and you won't enter into the kingdom of heaven. As your pastor, my greatest desire is to know that you know God, and one day you will walk in to eternity with all those that have died in faith before you. So with your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you hear and you say, Pastor, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. I may have been christened or baptized, but I've never prayed to be born again. Pastor, would you pray for me today? I want to be born again. I've never prayed to be born again. It only happens once, just like the day you were born. Would you pray for me today? I want to know that if I die, the next face I see will be the face of Jesus. And if I live, that God's plan and purpose will be revealed through my life. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if that's you, Pastor, pray for me. I've never prayed to be born again. I want to leave here knowing my sins are forgiven. I want to leave here knowing today was my spiritual birthday. I want what happened to you in that junior high school to happen to me today in Opelousas High School. If that's you and you've never been born again and today you want to pray to be born again, you can do it right at your seat by A, admitting you're a sinner, B, believing that Jesus Christ became your sin bearer and died for your sin so you wouldn't have to die in it, and C, confess Christ as your Lord and Savior as you turn away from sin to repentance to be born again. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if that's you, Pastor, I've never prayed to be born again, would you pray for me? If that's you, would you just lift your hand right now high? Right now, I'm going to pray for you. High, high, real high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Anywhere else? 7. Anywhere else? 8. Anywhere else? Okay. 9. Yes. Anywhere else? 10. Yes. Anywhere else? Okay, put your hands down. You say, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand, but I should have with these 10. Would you pray for me? My heart's about to beat out of my chest. I know this is what I need. I know you're talking directly to me. I feel it. I know it's God talking to me. If you raised your hand already, don't raise it again. But if you didn't, I want you to raise it and wave it at me right now and join these 11. Wave it at me right now so I can see it. 12, 13. All right. The church, let's pray out loud with all of those who raised their hand to be born again. Would you? Let's pray out loud together. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my guilt, my sin, and my shame, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I would not have to go. And you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn away from sin to be born again. Today, God is my Father, Jesus is my Savior, and I'm born again in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give all those people a big hand?
Once again, thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church. If you'd like to learn more or to take your next step, call our church office at 337-678-0660.